coverage of Masters Week on Golf Talk America, sponsored by Tommy John. Save 25% off site-wide right now at TommyJohn.com/golftalk. Go see Tommy John. It's good stuff.
Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
And welcome into Golf Talk America live from Augusta. We are at the 2022 Masters. I'm Frank Bassett. Tim Matthews is somewhere missing in action. We haven't found him yet, but we'll find him. We'll get him on here for you. Anyway, thanks everybody for listening. We are having a fabulous time. It's been a great week of golf for sure. Scottie Scheffler certainly played his heart out on Friday and has a very historic lead. Only five other players have done that. He would be the sixth to have a five-stroke lead after the first two rounds going into his Saturday round. He tees off late on Saturday afternoon. And I can tell you that in Augusta, Georgia right now, it's cold. It's windy. It's cloudy. The high today won't even reach 60 degrees. It's as chilly as I've seen a Masters in a long, long time. And certainly will have an effect on one Tiger Woods, I would think, although I'm not a surgeon. Oh, I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express, so maybe I can say something about that. Just kidding. It's going to affect everybody. The ball's not going to go as far. As we all know, you all as golfers know that sort of thing, so I'm not going to go there. But what I do want to do, okay. What we do want to do for you is play you an interview that we had the opportunity to do last night. It's on Morning Read. It's on Sports Illustrated or SI.com. And Ross Dillinger, who is the sports writer from Sports Illustrated, came and met me. We filmed it. You can see the video of it, of course, out on SI.com and all over the Internet. But he had some things to say about his observations following Scottie Scheffler on his Friday round. So stand by and we'll hear a little bit from what Ross and I had to say.
Been doing. And yeah. You did. You saw some limps today. I remember watching him a couple times kind of use his either putter or whatever club he was having as a cane, you know, to get out. At some point he used a wedge to get out of the sand trap, yeah. You know, as a cane to help him with that right leg. And I followed him. I saw him 15 and 16. And 15... He missed about a 10-foot birdie putt, and he squatted down behind the putt to read it. And, you know, normally he would squat all the way down to the ground, and you could tell he was hurting. And so he just kind of half squatted. He had the right leg without any weight on it. Clearly, he's in a little bit of pain.
Well, you know, the story's been Tiger Woods all week. The story today was Scottie Scheffler and the wind. I was over there, and as a matter of fact, early on, I went to the putting green and talked to Randy Smith, who is Scottie Scheffler's instructor, along with Scotty, and then watched them tee off. Randy said he's putting the best he's seen him putt in a long time. That's got to carry him. Would you not agree?
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously at the Masters, everybody knows about Augusta's greens and how slick they are and how undulated they are. And so you need to have a good putting day, and he obviously did. And I got to watch him. Like I said, some holes, I think it was 15. He made a really like side-winding downhill, probably 5-footer, and just dribbled it right in. It was perfect. It was beautiful. But you mentioned the wind. We're getting some more right now here. I mean, it. You know what? What was funny is that I followed Scotty in, it was the first time I didn't feel the wind. In fact, I think the players were confused just watching their reactions. They kind of threw the grass up in the air. And it kind of died down for the last group, the last few holes. But outside of that, it was blowing a gale all day. I mean, people's hats were coming off. That's how gusty it was.
Yeah, we saw that also. One stat I want to throw out real quick. In 1956, folks, Jackie Burke came from 8 strokes back to win this event. We have a man right now who is 9 strokes back from Scottie Scheffler. He's made about every record disappear in the world of golf, and that's a one Tiger Woods. Do you think he has a chance to make this up against Scottie Scheffler?
You know, if the lead was 3 under, which is the next one behind Scheffler, you could definitely see it, you know, 4 strokes. But man, nine strokes is a lot. And I know he's Tiger Woods, but you saw it today. He was obviously hurting, and I think he's going to be probably a little bit on fumes. It would surprise me, you know, if he came in with some 65 or something, which is might be what he needs tomorrow.
It's possible.
But you never know. And I'm sure what's not going to help the leg in his injuries is the cold. And it's supposed to be pretty cold tomorrow.
Very cold in the morning. It's going to be very brisk. Now, just as a total disclosure for our listeners and viewers, this is a Mississippi State graduate. This is an Ole Miss graduate. And we made friends. So
it can be done.
It can be done, folks. We're excited that you're here. We're excited you're now covering golf for Sports Illustrated. Yeah. And do you have a dark horse who may just come out of the woodwork?
A dark horse. Well, I we just talked about Tiger, right? Nine strokes seems like a long way back. I'm not even sure exactly where Justin Thomas is. Maybe around even or minus one.
He's come back.
Yeah, I mean, and so
unbelievable.
And I watched him down the stretch, and he's stuck. And he almost got a hole in one on 16. It was wild, and I was in the stands there. It was pretty crazy. He's a crowd favorite. Everybody chanting his name. Maybe him, I guess. But again, a long way back. It's hard to see Scheffler blowing it. He's putting so well, like you said, and just playing incredible. I mean, his shot on 18 in the out of the woods, in between two trees, it stuck it within about 15 feet. So he's on target.
It's going to be an exciting finish.
Except in the air, and it kind of died down for the last group, the last few holes. But outside of that, it was blowing a gale all day. I mean, people's hats were coming off. That's how gusty it was.
We saw that also. One stat I want to throw out real quick. In 1956, folks, Jackie Burke came from eight strokes back to win this event. We have a man right now who is nine strokes back from Scotty Scheffler. He's made about every record disappear in the world of golf, and that's a one Tiger Woods. Do you think he has a chance to make this up against Scotty Scheffler?
You know, if the lead was 3 under, which is the next one behind Scheffler, you could definitely see it, you know, four strokes. But man, nine strokes is a lot. And I know he's Tiger Woods, but you saw it today. He was obviously hurting, and I think he's going to be probably a little bit on fumes. It would surprise me, you know, if he came in with some 65 or something, which is might be what he needs tomorrow.
It's possible.
But you never know. And I'm sure what's not going to help the leg in his injuries is the cold. And it's supposed to be pretty cold tomorrow.
Very cold in the morning. It's going to be very brisk. Now, just as a total disclosure for our listeners and viewers, this is a Mississippi State graduate. This is an Ole Miss graduate. And we made friends. So
it can be done.
It can be done, folks. We're excited that you're here. We're excited you're now covering golf for Sports Illustrated. Yeah. And do you have a dark horse who may just come out of the woodwork?
A dark horse. Well, I we just talked about Tiger, right? Nine strokes seems like a long way back. I'm not even sure exactly where Justin Thomas is. Maybe around even or minus one.
He's come back.
Yeah, I mean, and so
unbelievable.
And I watched him down the stretch, and he's stuck. He almost got a hole in one on 16. It was wild, and I was in the stands there. It was pretty crazy. He's a crowd favorite. Everybody chanting his name. Maybe him, I guess. But again, a long way back. It's hard to see Scheffler blowing it. He's putting so well, like you said, and just playing incredible. I mean, his shot on 18 in the out of the woods, in between two trees, it stuck it within about 15 feet. So he's on target.
It's going to be an exciting finish.
So there you have Ross Dellinger from Sports Illustrated and his thoughts. Don't go anywhere, everybody, because up next, Scotty Scheffler in his own words. Guys, just because it's spring doesn't mean you have to spend your time hunting for eggs. The right pair of underwear puts all your eggs in one basket and keeps them there. That's Tommy John's Hammock Pouch Underwear. When you're wearing Tommy John's Hammock Pouch Underwear, you're that much more comfortable, so you can do everything better. And they have dozens of comfort innovations. Once you've tried Tommy John underwear, you're never going back. Innovations such as an air mesh interior hammock and moisture wicking fabric with four times the stretch of competing brands. Plus, the legs never ride up, and Tommy John underwear comes with a non-rolling waistband for the perfect fit. That's why Tommy John doesn't have customers. They have fanatics. I know, because I'm one of them. They're one of the best pairs of underwear I've ever worn. As much as I travel on the PGA Tour week in and week out and doing TV and radio, they never have failed me. And guess what? Shipping and returns are free because every pair is backed by Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear, and it's free guarantee. Folks, it's Tommy John's anniversary month, so whether you're trying them for the first time or a longtime fan, get 25% off site-wide right now at TommyJohn.com/golftalk. Go to TommyJohn.com/golftalk today for 25% off. TommyJohn.com/golftalk. See site for details. Folks, do you like coffee as much as I do? Why, I'm not a coffee snob, but I absolutely love my coffee and have to have it every morning and a lot of times in the afternoon and then sometimes, really, at night. Well, there's a company I want you to look at. It's called Trade Coffee. Trade Coffee is an incredible product that connects their customers to the freshest and best-tasting coffee they've ever made at home by partnering with the country's best craft roasters. These are independent businesses from big cities and small towns. Trade customers are truly impactful for these independent roasters, often being the largest source of new growth for them. Expert tasted coffee. Trade Coffee team actually tests thousands of different coffees to keep 450 different kinds live and ready to ship every day. I can't tell you which one is my favorite because Trade Coffee shipped me a lot of their different products to test, and they're all really good. It just depends on your taste, and they'll certainly work with you to make that happen. They, you know, your friends, maybe coffee snobs, will tell them to try Trade Coffee, because the truth is, what I like and what you like could be totally different. You need to try the different types of coffee. Just answer a couple of questions, and you'll get your own personalized variety of coffees delivered fresh to you as often as you like. There are no gimmicks here. Trade delivers a bag of freshly roasted coffee as whole beans or ground for however you brew it at home. Personally for me, I like to grind the beans fresh every morning. Trade has delivered over 5 million bags of fresh coffee with more than 750,000 positive reviews. Right now, Trade is offering new subscribers a total of $30 off your first order plus free shipping. When you go to drinktrade.com/golftalk. That's drinktrade.com/golftalk. That's more than 40 cups of coffee free. Get started by taking their quiz at drinktrade.com/golftalk and let Trade find you a coffee you'll love. That's drinktrade.com/golftalk for $30 off. Welcome back, everybody. Scotty Scheffler, he's up right now. Here he is.
Good evening. We are pleased to welcome back to the interview room Scotty Scheffler. Scotty, after three wins and a world number one ranking in your last 2 months, you're now leading by 5 strokes at the 86th Masters Tournament. Your round of 67 today included 7 birdies. Congratulations on your incredible start, and we're going to open it up to questions.
Scotty, Jeff, when you hear that set a lead that big, what goes through your mind?
Not too much at the moment. I mean, I just got off the golf course, and you know, I played solid golf today. I kept myself in position. I had a really good back nine, and you know, I'm looking forward to the challenge of tomorrow. But you know, I wouldn't say much changes. I mean, I'm still playing the golf course. There's still, you know, 50 guys in the field, something like that, I'm sure. And you know, I can't worry about what those guys are doing. I'm just going to go out and play my game and just keep doing what I'm doing.
Dan.
Scotty, you played some terrific golf during your time on the PGA, but this last 2 month stretch since Phoenix, can you explain exactly, you know, what's happening and maybe why you're playing so well right now?
That's a good question. I mean, I feel like I've been very committed to my shots. You know, I haven't. I've done a really good job mentally of just setting up to the shots and, you know, accepting that I'm going to hit bad ones and being fully committed to hitting good ones. And, you know, for me, I've prepared for a long time to be in moments like this and to win golf tournaments. And, you know, like I said at the beginning of the week, I've done all the preparation that I can do. And if I win this golf tournament, then great. And if I don't, that's okay too, because I did everything I could. And I'm prepared, and, you know, the rest isn't up to me.
Brentley.
Scotty, would you describe yourself as tough? And then also heard a story about maybe you won a state high school title on a broken ankle or something like that. Was that true? Could you share that story as well?
Yeah. So the way I broke my ankle was not tough, but I did play on a sprained ankle or whatever in the state tournament. I was running down. We were playing outdoor hoops at one of my buddy's houses like a week before the state tournament, and I was running down the outdoor court, and I stepped on an acorn, of all things, and my buddies will still make fun of me to this day because of it. I stepped on an acorn because they were freaking out. They're like, oh, my gosh, we heard a pop, and I was like, my ankle's not broken, but it definitely was stinging for a while. It was my left ankle, and I just played all week with my foot turned just out to the side and just kind of grinded it out, I guess.
Is it left or right?
Left ankle. So I just flipped. If my foot sits like that, I just flip it like that and just kind of used my hands and just went out and played.
And
hi, Scotty. Can you talk about your confidence level and this week and perhaps how your success in the past few months have played into that?
Yeah, I feel like my game's in a good spot. You know, like I said, I've prepared as much as I could. I worked really hard this offseason, and I've put myself in a position now where, I'm in a position to win this golf tournament, and, you know, I couldn't ask for anything more after 36 holes. You know, it's nice to just be somewhere near the lead, and, you know, for me, my game feels like it's in a good spot, and I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing, just be committed to my shots and, you know, not really overthinking things.
Beth.
Earlier today, even par was considered to be a good round. When you teed off today, what kind of number did you think would be a good round?
I thought even par was going to be a really good score. I was pleased. Really, the only thing that went through my head before today's round was I just wanted to get off to a decent start. And I bogeyed, I think, 1 and 3. And then after that, I played really good golf. I made a great par on 4, great par on 5, and then great par on 6. And then I think my tee shot on 7 kind of changed the day for me. I had a great shot off the tee there. That's, you know, not an easy tee shot. It's probably one of the toughest on the golf course. And put it out there in the fairway and then hit a great shot into the green. And then I kind of just got things rolling from there.
And if I could just follow, I know you have a love of board games. Anything that you might play tomorrow to kill time?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not really sure. You know, we didn't actually play anything this morning. It was just Meredith and me at home. So I don't know. I got to get out of this room before I figure out what I'm doing tomorrow morning.
Grant?
I think you slew your birdies on all 4 par 5 holes and also maybe the second shot on 18.
So just talking about the par 5s?
Yeah. What was the key to those?
I think I hit every fairway, and then after that, I just tried to put myself in a position where I could get the ball up and down. So a good example of that is probably number 8, where I was in between 3-iron and 3-wood. And 3-wood, I could have hit a great shot and put it in there close, but with the way the wind direction was, I wasn't, you know, guaranteed I was going to hit the green. And so I opted to just hit a 3-iron out there short of it and trust my short game and got up and down. And on 13, there was some mud under my ball, and I flushed it, and it flew like 40 yards right, and I got a good break over there. You know, I guess a good and a bad break. You know, mud under the ball is not necessarily a good break, but, you know, it happens around this golf course. And it was fortunate to stay up, and I took advantage of the good break. And then 15 is the same thing. People can get greedy with that pin. Like you saw Tony and my group fly it over the green. If you hit it at the pin, and it goes into the water. So basically, the pin on that green for me was almost the right edge of the green. And I hit a good shot, and the wind just took it to the right, and, you know, I made a nice up and down. So for me, I was just trying to keep the ball in position.
Yes, sir.
Scotty. Me?
No. Sorry, Chris.
Scotty, you played so many of these guys
played this golf course twice before. And, you know, 4 rounds, how have those 8 rounds helped you, you know, kind of negotiate this, navigate today?
Yeah, I talked about it at the beginning of the week a little bit. You know, I was fortunate to play the final round in 2020 with Tiger, and then I played 2 rounds with Phil last year. And I learned a lot just by watching those guys manage their way around the golf course. And then, you know, I've seen tons of highlights and plenty of stuff, and I feel like I'm constantly learning about this place. And, you know, one of my goals going into today with the way the wind was, like Teddy and I talked about it, we're just going to try and play this golf course like Bernhard Langer does and just kind of plot your way around. And, I mean, the guy seems to play good every year, and I don't even know how old he is now, but he's, you know, not young. You know, he's definitely one of the older guys in the field here, and he, you know, continues to beat people around this golf course.
Ryan.
Scotty, a lot of the top players on the PGA Tour play one predominant shot shape, and they kind of stick to that regardless of the course. How many different shots do you feel like you're playing throughout the course of a round here?
A lot. yeah. I couldn't put a number on it. I mean, every shot's a little bit different. You know, I have different feels for different things, but every shot's pretty much different, especially when you get, you know, 25 to 30 mile an hour gusts out there. I mean, every shot's its own challenge for sure around this golf course.
Chet, have you always been comfortable shaping it both ways, high, low, left, right?
Yeah, I think that part of the game's always been really fun for me. I think it's really cool. I've always enjoyed, you know, being able to hit shots out of the trees. You know, I got way too much experience doing that in college with how I drove the ball in college. And so, you know, it's one of those things that it's just fun. That's the part I enjoy. It's really cool just to see what you can do with a golf ball. And, you know, like Bubba Watson's one of my favorite guys to watch play golf because he just seemingly does whatever he wants with the ball. And, you know, Tiger's the same way. They just hit all kinds of shots. And, you know, that part for me is fun.
Brian. Or is it right? Okay, back row, please.
Scotty, some of these guys are coming off the course like they've been in a boxing match with the conditions, not really enjoying what happened. You seemed impervious to that. How does that happen?
Well, you know, I definitely feel like I was in a fight today. I guess, you know, the only thing I'd say to that is maybe I just performed a little bit better, but you know, I'm definitely a little tired right now after the grind of today, so I'm looking forward to just getting home and getting some rest.
David?
Hi, Scotty. Congratulations on the world number one that a lot of people care about. just want to know, you said, you know, you just wanted a decent start today, at the early start, but you had bogey, you know, mm-hmm. two of the, you know, first three.
Yeah, so.
And how did you keep your cool?
For me, in my opinion, the way the wind was blowing, if I was one over through five holes around this golf course, really even six where that pin was today, that's a pretty good start. Outside of number two, every hole is hard. So number one's really hard. Number three, with how hard the wind was blowing, is a hard hole today. And then number four is really hard, and five is arguably one of the hardest holes on the golf course. And so for me, getting used to the conditions and being one over through five, I felt like that for me was a pretty good start at the time.
Okay, so how would you rate today's round among all the important round of your career?
Yeah, I mean, today was pretty important. You know, I want to put myself in positions to win tournaments, and that's what's fun for me. And that's what I've done the first 2 days here, and hopefully I'll, you know, keep things moving this weekend.
Thank you. Good luck.
Thanks.
Last two questions. David and then Doug.
Gotti, as you got deeper into the back nine there, did you have a sense that you were pulling away from the field a little bit? I mean, did you know exactly how you were faring compared to the rest of the players?
Yeah, I mean, I saw the leaderboard, and I think a few guys were at three under, and you know, I didn't really pay much attention to it at the time. I mean, it was only, you know, 27 holes into the tournament or whatever, so still quite a long way to go. And you know, it's nice to build up a little bit of a lead, but you know, I'm not really going to be thinking about it tonight or anything. It's, you know, I've put myself in position to play well and to win this golf tournament. And going into tomorrow, I'm just going to approach it like I did today and just be committed to my shots and, you know, hope for the best.
Doug.
Buddy, when you said it definitely felt like a fight today, what was the hardest part of that fight for you? Strictly the wind, or was it, I mean?
So two parts, the wind and then trusting the other aspects of your game. So when the wind is this high, it's hard to make putts. It's hard to get the ball up and down. But if you try and force wear on this golf course, you're going to get yourself in trouble really, really quickly and make a big number. And so for me, my goal and what Teddy and I talked about at the beginning of the day was just being committed to the shots, because the wind's going to move around. You're going to get bad bounces. You're going to get bad gusts. All these things are going to happen because the golf course is playing so tough. But if I'm just committed to my shots, I'm able to live freely in that and know that, you know, I did my best to hit a good shot, and I didn't let the conditions or whatever it is bother me. I just hit a good shot and it didn't work out. You know, it's not overly complicated.
And then the par save on 11 was a nice one. I'm just curious if there was any other shots that stood out to you as being really important to you in the course of the round.
Yeah, that was really important. And that was one of those ones where you're sitting up there on that hill hitting that shot downhill, and the wind is blowing 25 in off the right, and I'm sitting there like, I have no idea how I could even get this ball on the green. And if I do, it'd be kind of a miracle shot. And the right side, there's room. You know, it's granted it's not an easy up and down, but five's the worst score I'm going to make. And so what we talked about was just hitting a punch shot and trying to run it off those mounds up onto the green. And if it didn't, I was over there on the right side and I could manufacture something and give myself a look for par. I mean, that hole is a par five. Like, we walked off and Teddy goes, nice birdie. Like, it's okay. It's just a hard hole.
Scotty, thank you, and good luck the rest of the way.
All right, thanks.
So there you go. Scotty Scheffler, in his own words, right here on Golf Talk America, huh? Hey, it's going to be a great weekend at the Masters. Who knows what may happen. Just a little tidbit for you. In 1956, Jackie Burke came back to win the Masters from 8 strokes back. As it sits right now, Tiger Woods is 9 strokes back from Scotty Scheffler. As it sits today, okay? He's broken every other record in the world. Do you think Tiger Woods could possibly pull this off? Scheffler's pretty hot, but that's going to be for all you guys out there to kind of figure out. I don't know if it can happen, but you never can tell with Tiger Woods. Let's see what happens. Enjoy your Masters weekend. We'll be back with you every day and every night with updates on Sports Illustrated and Golf Talk America and Morning Read and just about everywhere else. For Frank Bassett, which is me, love you all. Thanks for listening. See you now.